This evening I'm going to be ministering to you a message that I've entitled, The God Who Wants to Meet With You. The God Who Wants to Meet With You. We can start in Isaiah 43 verse 1. It says, But now this says the Lord who created you, O Jacob, and who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I've called you by your name, you are mine. And when you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. And when you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. This is such a beautiful picture of God who has created us to walk with Him. The Bible says in verse number 2, He says, I will be with you. And I truly believe with all of my heart that God has had an intention to meet with us regularly, to be with us, to spend time with us, for us to take a moment, whether it be in our day or hopefully every day. But I believe with all of my heart that God has a true desire to actually spend some time with you all the time, every day. Genesis 3:8 says this, we see it says, and they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And it's almost as though the scripture suggests that God would come into the garden and walk and look for Adam and Eve. So from the very beginning, God would come and have fellowship and communion and relationship with His people. But unfortunately, when sin entered the world, something happened. The Bible says, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. So what happens is, because of sin, we have a tendency to not want to spend time with God, to not draw near to Him. And He has a desire to draw near to each and every one of us. I truly believe that this church was created by God so that we could help people encounter God, draw near to God. This is like the mission, so that we can help people grow in their relationship with the Lord. Because the most important thing that I can teach you as your pastor is to know God, is to walk with Him, is to encounter Him. Encountering God doesn't have to look the same all the time. And the way that I encounter God, or the way that I meet with God, doesn't have to be the way that you meet with Him. Because how many of you know that God has created each and every one of us differently? Yes, in Scripture we see examples of different ways that God has encountered different people or met with different people. But I truly believe that from the beginning, God has had this desire to walk with us, to talk to us, to meet with us, even if it's just for a little while. I remember in the past, I used to labor to meet with God. I would pray and intercede for hours to meet with Him, not recognizing that He was already with me when I began. Not that there was anything wrong with the labor, intercession and all those things. God takes us through many different seasons in our journey with Him. But one thing I've come to realize is that God is waiting for you and I to just meet with Him. And that moment of meeting with Him can be so powerful and so impactful. The Bible says that man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. God has created us to meet with Him so that He can speak to us and share something with us on a daily basis. Every day. If we can encounter God every day, our lives will be turned inside out, upside down for the better. The Bible gives some examples of individuals that had these meetings, these encounters, walked with God. Genesis 5:21 says this, and Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. And he begot Methuselah. And after he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had sons and daughters. He must have had a few if he lived 300 years. I think they aged slower. I don't think they were like, you know what I mean? Okay. and they had sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And it says this, it says, and Enoch walked with God. Enoch would meet with God and walk with God. If you read the book of Enoch, it's not scripture, but it's an amazing book to read because you'll find out that Enoch would have this incredible way of meeting with God, going up before God, spending time with God. God would speak to him in such a profound way that eventually he became, it was so much that the Bible actually says, and Enoch walked with God and he was not, for God took him. So Enoch, from what we understand, didn't die. He was taken up into heaven. So he was walking with God so much. The relationship was so intense and so powerful and so incredible that eventually God said, listen, you might as well just stay here, man. You see, last week I shared with you about gifting and how everybody is different. But I can assure you of one thing. It doesn't matter what your gift is. Your relationship with God is far more important than your gift. And if you remember last week, I finished off with 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse number 1, where it says, pursue love, desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you shall prophesy, or that you'll prophesy. And I think Paul was very clever, because what he was trying to say is, he was trying to say, listen, you need to hear from God. Because in order to speak a word from God, you have to first hear his voice. So I really believe that what Paul was trying to say is, listen, tongues and prophecy and interpretation of tongues and gifts of administration and gifts of mercy and gifts of all the different gifts of healings and all the different things that are available to you, it's all wonderful. But the most important thing is love. And the most important love is the love that you have for God. And in order for us to really be able to see that love manifest in our life with him, not I love you, Lord, so that I can get to heaven. Come on. But Lord, I want to hear from you. Some of the most powerful encounters I've had with God without realizing how powerful they were was when I had a cup of coffee. And I know it sounds funny, me and coffee, it's one of those things, guys. God made me to drink coffee, there's no doubt. I have a sign in my office that says, you know, I wouldn't drink coffee, but I'm not a quitter. I just can't do it. I'm drinking coffee one morning, I'll never forget it, and God gave me the vision for the church. I wasn't praying in tongues for hours or anything, just sitting there. I can put a worship song on, and while I'm busy worshiping, tears begin to stream down my eyes. Why is that less of an amazing encounter with God than one where I've been doing something for hours? You might be in the shower. I don't want to even imagine it. And while you're in the shower, you're busy doing your praise and worship. And all of a sudden, while you praise and worshiping, for a moment, you just stop because something's just come over you. And I want you to know that something that's come over you is our beautiful, wonderful Holy Spirit. And he's busy encountering you. And in that moment, you have an amazing encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. And you might not even know that you've heard, but you've heard. And that one thing that you've heard is that very thing that you need that will sustain you in that day. How many of you know what it's like to be driving in your car? I've heard it so many times. I've counseled so many people. Oh, Pastor Alex, the place I meet with God the most is in my car. Why not? It's better than listening to the other stuff. Okay. And you're driving in the car, and suddenly while you're driving in the car, maybe you're not listening to music. Maybe you're just busy thinking. And all of a sudden, while you're thinking, you begin to speak to God. And while you're busy speaking to God, all of a sudden, it's like something touches your heart. And you have this encounter with God that is so beautiful and so powerful. And don't let anybody ever tell you that that is not wonderful in itself. Because all God wants to do is walk with you. All he wants to do is walk with you in the cool of the day. All he wants to do with you is in that moment where you take that stroll in the morning, when you walk on the beach or when you walk around the block in your neighborhood. I don't know why you would do that, but maybe it is what you do. And while you're walking around the block and you look at the sunrise, and all of a sudden you say to the Lord, I see you, Lord. I hear you, Lord. And you have that encounter with him. God wants to walk with you and meet with you every single day. The Bible tells us about Jacob in Genesis 28, verse number 12. It says, then he dreamed. Jacob is having a dream. And behold, the ladder. This is Genesis 28, verse 12. Then he dreamed, and behold, the ladder was set up on the earth, and its top reached to heaven. And there the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and your descendants. Also, your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west and east, to the north and the south. And in your seed are all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Now watch what he says. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go. I will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep, and watch what he says. Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? What made that place awesome, guys? Was the fact that he had an encounter with God in that place. I don't know what that place looks like for you. I don't know where that is for you. I know where it is for me. And I've gotten to this place in my journey with God where it's no longer the only place, but now I look to where it is, anywhere that he wants to encounter me. I'm sitting with my kids on the couch, and suddenly I close my eyes and I can feel him saying, I just want to be with you for a minute. And I enjoy the moment so much, just hearing his voice. Maybe my wife and I are having a conversation about the church. We do that a lot, just by the way. And she says something profound. And all of a sudden, I feel the presence of God. And I have a moment with him. I'm walking with him. I'm on this journey with him. Some people have a specific place in their house where they meet with God. Go to that place as often as you can to meet with him. Because it's in that moment, it's in that time that God will take you and speak to you and give you life. I want to show you real quick just a few things that you will get from meeting with him, from him being with you in your life. There are a few things. I'm going to go to Genesis 39, verse number 2. Look at this. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. I'm not going to get into the whole story of Joseph, but I want you to see that when the Lord is with you, you will be successful. God will give you success in your day. God will give you success in your business. God will give you success in your family if you are willing to be with him. You see, the Bible says that the Lord was with Joseph, but all the promises that were with Joseph were for all the other children of Israel as well. But it was Joseph that chose to follow the Lord. It was Joseph that chose to hear his voice and follow his leading. Are you guys with me? Genesis 39, 21 says, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy, and he gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. So when the Lord is with you and you are hearing his voice and you are speaking to him on a daily basis, he will show you mercy. Look at this. This is so powerful. It says he will give you favor even when you're in prison. So even while you're going through difficult times, don't let that be the time that you don't get to spend time with him. Rather, draw closer to him in those moments, because even in those moments of despair or you feel like you're in prison, he will show you mercy and he will give you favor. Exodus 33, verse 13. When Moses is with God and he's in his presence, listen to what he says. Exodus 33, 13 says, now therefore I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me your way, that I may know you, that I may find grace in your sight, and consider that this nation is your people. And he said, my presence will go with you. Watch this. And when you do that, when you seek the Lord, when you seek his presence, when you seek after him, his presence goes with you. And the Bible says he will give you rest. Oh my God, I've known so many Christians all my life that can't ever find this rest because they're working so hard and they're trying so hard and it's so difficult to be a Christian. Kumbaya. That's not how it's meant to be. If you are someone that desires him, if I find grace in your sight, he said, that I may know you. And he says, listen, because you want to know me, my presence will go with you. And when his presence is with you, it means that his favor is yours. You have his favor. You have his mercy. You have his grace on your life. Because you make a decision to make time with him, to meet with him. See, many people know him. Many people know about him, but not everybody desires to meet with him. But those who desire to meet with him and follow him, those are the ones that will experience favor, mercy, peace, joy, even in the midst of a trial sometimes. There are certain individuals in Scripture that we can clearly see caught this revelation. David, without any doubt, as we know, was a man after God's own heart. You see, the thing about David is even when David messed up, the place he went was the Lord. He chose to meet with God no matter what happened. He wasn't perfect. He did a lot of things wrong, but he also did so many things right, guys. And the one thing that I covet more than anything is to have a heart like his heart, that's a heart after his heart. And the Bible says in Psalm 63, verse 1, O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So I've looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. David had a desire. He made a time. He set aside a time where he would be able to meet with God. It became a priority to him. Again, I'm not trying to tell you to do any religious type thing. If you're a very disciplined person and you can do that, that's wonderful. Do it. But if you're someone that isn't like that, that's fine. But make sure you do it anyway at some point. Because you need him. I don't know about you, but I need him. And I don't need him from yesterday. I need him today. The Bible says that when the children of Israel were in the wilderness, they had to have fresh manna every day. Fresh bread, a fresh word. It represents like a fresh word from God every day. Yesterday's is sour. I don't want old wine. I want new wine. Are you guys with me? I need to speak to him every day. I need to meet with him every day. And I'm telling you, all week the Lord has told me to share this with you. And I'm like, Lord, what can I say? All I need to tell them is they need to meet with you. That he wants to meet with you. You don't have to be any kind of spiritual guru to do that. Just sit down and say, here I am, Lord. Speak. Your servant is listening. Sometimes it doesn't feel like you hear anything. But then just begin to speak to him. And he has an amazing way of speaking back. The problem is we so often don't even give him the opportunity to speak because we decide before he even does that he's not speaking. When he's saying, just wait a little bit more. Just sit a little bit longer. Take a little bit. Just drive past the building. Have you ever done that when you're busy driving and then God begins to speak to you and you like need to pull in here and you're like, I am absolutely not. Just keep talking, Lord. The Bible speaks about an interesting character in Luke 19, verse number 1. It says, then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. I want you to know that that doesn't mean he was popular. In fact, what it really means, he was an outcast. He was wealthy, and he made his money by taking taxes from the people. They did not like him at all. But yes, he was wealthy. He had influence. He was a person of stature, I guess you could say. And the Bible says, and he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was short stature. It's interesting because Zacchaeus could have been like, well, you know, I'm a tax collector. Nobody loves me. I'm just going to mind my own business. But the fact is, he did whatever he could. In fact, in verse number 4, it says, so he ran ahead and climbed up into the sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and he said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. Listen to this. Oh, it's so good. For today I must stay at your house. God is looking for Zacchaeus's. You see, God wants to come and spend time with you at your house. But are you willing to get up the tree so that you can see him? Are you willing to take that mountain bike ride? And while you're mountain biking and looking at everything beautiful around you, take a moment and say, Lord, I just want to spend a moment with you. Maybe driving in your car, sitting on the beach, wherever it is that you are. If you can pray in your office, I don't know how you do that, but maybe you can. But are you willing to invite him in? Are you willing to step out? Because when you are, I want you to know that he is waiting to come to you and to speak to you and to fellowship with you. It's his desire. It's like I heard the whole week, I want to meet with you. I'm like, Lord, what do I need to do? And it's like, you have to do nothing. Just make it a priority. Take a moment. Set it aside so that you can just quiet everything. I love those noise cancellation earphones. I can sit in the lounge and my son watches hockey and he's jumping around with his hockey stick. Have you ever watched those movies where everything, and there's like that's almost like classical music and everything's going chaotic around you and it slows down? That's what happens. I literally put my earphones on, put the noise cancellation on. I have an encounter with God on the couch, and all chaos is going on around me. And a religious person will say, you can't do that. Says who? I can meet with him anywhere. In fact, every opportunity I get, that's what walking with God looks like, guys. Sometimes we overcomplicate these things. I'm here to tell you this evening that God wants to meet with you. The creator of the universe wants to meet with you. It's amazing, isn't it? I'm almost done. Are you guys okay? Wow. Let's go to Luke 10, verse 38. This is such a famous story in Scripture. And I think this proves the point just so beautifully. It says, and Jesus and his disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem. They came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he taught. But Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. She came to Jesus and said, Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come and help me. The Lord said to her, my dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all these details. Before we read on, I want to show you something. See, sometimes we make spending time with God over-detailed. Or we try and give five steps or five ways of, listen. Beautiful people. It's like I hear the Lord say, I want to meet with you. How, Lord? Anyway, just make yourself available. Martha's saying, listen, I'm doing all the right things. And she's not doing anything wrong. She's serving and she's working and she's trying and she's striving and it's all good. But then she gets upset with Mary. And all Mary is doing is sitting at his feet. And Jesus says to her, listen, you're upset over all these details. There is only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it. And then he said to her, and it will not be taken away from her. Remember I shared with you about how I can sit in the room, put my earphones on, and all the chaos going on around you? If you choose to make time to allow him to come and meet with you, the devil can jump around and scream and shout and accuse you and do all this stuff. And if you just take that moment, it's the part that will not be taken from you. Because it's the most important part, guys. Amen. He says, there is only one thing worth being concerned about. He says, Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her. Isn't it beautiful? One more scripture. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 16. It says, and what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell with them and walk among them. I will be their God and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean and I will receive you. I will be a father to you and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. I really feel like God is wanting me to tell you this evening that you are his sons and his daughters. And I don't know what it is that you're going through and what's happening in your life. Listen, chaos is all around us, guys. Come on now. If you live in this world, I mean, now we have to be scared of computers that can tell us what to do. But I truly believe that God wants us to know, listen, we can come away from all of that. We can separate ourselves from the things of this world, the desires of the world, the pleasures of this world, and do what is most important, which Mary discovered and will not be taken away from her and will not be taken away from you. It doesn't have to be, listen, if you can do it, if you can spend hours, do it. I love to spend hours with the Lord. I love it. It's wonderful. But sometimes it just doesn't work out. And if it's not working out on this particular day, I'm not going to let that steal me from having a moment. Or maybe that moment turns into 10 minutes. Maybe it turns into half an hour. Maybe it turns into an hour. But if I'm meeting with him and he's with me, I ain't going nowhere. I'm not going to move. He is your father. Your heavenly Father, and he wants to meet with you. And we're going to pray in just a moment so that he can speak to you here, but I want you to know something. This is only once a week. This is not enough. This is great. This is wonderful. But the whole point of this message this evening is so that you will take the time to allow him to come. Because he wants to meet with you daily. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father, I thank you tonight. Because I know, Lord, that there are many. Life gets so busy. Overwhelming. Maybe it's a mom that it's just overwhelming, the schoolwork and her job. And Lord, she hasn't even had a moment to really get with you. And then it's like, well, you know, I have to first do this and I have to first do that and I have to first do all this stuff before I can meet with you. When Lord, really it isn't like that. She can just take a moment. And just for that moment, be just like Mary. And choose to stop being like Martha, as wonderful as Martha was. But just sit at your feet. The part that Mary discovered. The best part that will not be taken away from her or from anybody who desires to meet with you. Holy Spirit, we invite you into this moment this evening, into each and every person's life. Lord, we don't have to do anything to qualify. The blood of Jesus has already qualified us. And I'm so grateful, Holy Spirit, that you are here with us. So I ask right now, Lord, under the sound of my voice in this sanctuary and even those at home, would you breathe fresh breath, fresh life, strength, peace, joy, refreshing, times of refreshing come from the presence of the Lord. Lord, I sense that there are many that are weary and tired. Will you not refresh them this evening, Holy Spirit? Will you not breathe upon them this evening, Father, with your great love, with your great mercy? Because it's in the presence of the Lord that we renew our strength. So I thank you, Father. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for every single individual in this place. I thank you, Father, that even if we've been struggling, even if we've been in a bad place, we can come out from that place. Your word says we can come out from that place and we are your children and you love us. So I ask that you encounter everyone in this place this evening. Lord, like the prophet Elijah was looking for you in the lightning and in the wind and in all the different stuff, but was it not a small, still voice that spoke to him suddenly and said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? Lord, I pray for those moments, for each and every person in this place, those watching online. I pray for those moments, Lord, for we know that you are the God that desires to meet with us. We love you and we honor you. Just stay in this atmosphere for just a moment. Just raise your hands to heaven. Father, just give them peace. Just fill them tonight, Lord. No one has to lay hands on you. No one has to pray for you. He is wanting to meet with you right now. Just fill them up, Father. Thank you, Lord, for your great love. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Lord, teach us to not always look to a man for a touch from you, but teach us to get a touch from you every day in our secret place. Wherever the secret place is, wherever we can meet with you, we love you and we honor you. We thank you for it this evening in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on, let's give the Lord a clap. Amen. Amen. Is God not so good that he wants to meet with you? Amen. I pray that the peace of God be with you as you leave tonight. That his favor and his rest be your portion. That you leave with the joy of the Lord and you be strengthened tonight. The altars are open for prayer. My leaders will be up here to pray for any of your needs. Other than that, we bless you in the name of Jesus and we'll see you tomorrow. God bless you. We love you. Amen.